Amen. Thank you very much. It means a lot to me and to our team to know that this series is being enveloped in the prayers of God's people. We sense that. And we're encouraging folks since the 31st of August to be praying right up to the 20th of September and through the series that these meetings will not only reach people there in New York City, those who may be watching around the world, but we put these on TV, and the meetings we did in New York in 1999 aired for 15 years and reached a lot of people. So we're praying the Lord will do it again and more. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Some of you are looking at the clock and thinking, don't you usually get up to preach a little sooner? Don't worry. We'll finish on time. Of course, I'm an evangelist, and a day is really a year. So that's a relative term. I want to welcome our friends who are watching online. When a lot of people tune in, we have members. Granite Bay has an online membership around the country, and we meet them from time to time, and we want to greet you and wish you a happy Sabbath. We're actually recording today, I'll confess, with a little bit of a stripped-down system because a lot of our stuff is packed, getting ready to go to New York, pray for the team that is driving so much of this very important equipment across the country. God will give them and the vehicles traveling mercy, and He'll just bless. We need lots and lots of angels to bless this series. Our message this morning, I've titled, You May Be a Christian, or You Might Be a Christian. And you'll understand more as I proceed where I'm coming from. Maybe just begin by a word of explanation. This week I was out of town studying. I actually locked myself in a hotel room because you might be thinking, well, don't you have a place in the hills? Yeah, I go up there, I want to work. And when I'm home, I got all this stuff around me and all the local work, and I went to a hotel room where I could really focus on the meetings, and it was a good move. I'm glad I did that. And so I'm coming back and talking to Karen, and she said, I got the cat. I thought, oh no, she texted me, I got the cat. I thought, we used to have a cat for 15 years and finally died, and we thought we're not going to get another cat because we travel a lot. It's not practical, and usually you get a cat, a little one, they tear up the curtains, and there's all problems. And I mean, I like animals, they're cute, but anyway, so I'm processing all this, and then her text me back. I said something like, why'd you get a cat? And she said, oh, I didn't get a cat. I got a car. She said, I spelt it wrong. And she didn't get a new car. She got her car that she put in the shop. I said, oh, whew. One letter makes a big difference. Now, have any of you ever texted somebody something and you didn't do like spell check before you texted and it conveyed a very interesting message? How many have done that? Read those things. Some of them I can't share with you that I've texted because I don't type very good. I get big fat fingers and I try to talk and type. And that just really increases the chance that you're going to mess up. I remember someone telling someone about a prophetic series I was going to do, and it came out I was doing a prosthetic series because Google doesn't hear prophetic very often, evidently. So you need to edit those things. You need to investigate. Have you heard about some of the church bulletins that got printed before they were carefully checked? This evening at 7 p.m., there will be a hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin. There's one letter. They just left the G off that. Church bulletin. Barbara Smith needs to remain in the hospital a little longer. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. You get that? She can't sleep. She wants the pastor's tapes. You know how many times people come up to me and say, oh, Pastor Doug, I just want you to know I go to sleep every night listening to you. They really say that to me. Lots of times I hear that. A potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m., prayer and medication to follow. So these bloopers are the process of not carefully investigating before you press print. Someone needs to edit a little more carefully the prose. You know, the Bible says that investigation is a good idea, and even some self-examination. I understand that cancer that is diagnosed at an early stage is much more likely to be treated successfully. It's very important to tell your doctor as soon as possible if you notice anything that isn't normal for you. Self-examination can save your life. And the Bible says self-examination is very important for a Christian. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul is speaking to a church that had a lot of challenges, and some of them didn't really understand what it meant to be a Christian. They came to Christ, they joined the church, but their lives were not in keeping with what that would really mean. And Paul did not want them to be self-deceived. So he said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. He didn't say in the church, did he? He said in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? We need to know. Unless indeed you're disqualified, but I trust that you will know that you're not disqualified. But Paul, nevertheless, is telling us that we need to know. Now, you know, there's several statements in the Bible where Jesus makes that clear. You've got the parable of the 10 virgins. They were all virgins. They're all part of God's people. But when it finally came to the final exam, some had forgotten the oil. And then Jesus tells about a group at the second coming. They say, Lord, Lord, they know his name. They're working for the Lord. We've cast out devils, done wonderful works. Jesus said, you failed to do a self-examination. I don't really know you. Depart from me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 talks about someone who they were filled with the Spirit and tasted the wonderful things of God, but they have fallen away. And maybe they didn't know. You know, backsliding is different. People are not lost by back jumping or hopping or skipping. Slides can happen imperceptibly. They can happen slowly. I went to sleep one night on a rock above a cliff. It was near a waterfall. And I didn't realize that the little bit of incline towards the precipice, that as I rolled and tossed subconsciously in the night, every time I moved, I was sliding closer to the edge. I finally woke up in the night, and I felt my foot kind of dangling off the edge, and I thought, well, this could have ended very badly. Sliding, little by little. It's important that we test ourselves. Now, aren't you glad that you live in a country where people are supposed to take a driving exam? I remember I was in a Caribbean island, I won't tell you which one, and I saw these little kids, I thought they were kids, driving, and I asked somebody, I said, how old do they have to be to get a license? And they laughed and said, get a license? So they got to be able to see over the steering wheel, which explained why they had a disproportionately high number of accidents on the road in that country. People driving around with no license. When you get on a plane, are you happy to know that that pilot has gone through several examinations and he has updates on a regular basis? Does that make you feel better? Or do you think that's legalistic? How many of you say, you know, this pilot ought to fly by grace and not by works? And we shouldn't be so legalistic about making him take all these exams and these health tests, make sure he's not going to pass out while he's flying the plane. Why do they have all those exams? Because the consequences of failure are catastrophic. So you want to take an exam. Any of you ever gone to the store before and you hand a $100 bill? And some of you think, nah, never, but some of you have. You hand a $100 bill to the merchant, and what do? They hold it up to the light, and they take out a special pin, and they check to make sure it's authentic, right? Have you ever seen them do that with a $1 bill? No. I mean, wouldn't you think it's strange if the guy gets out, and he's holding the $1 up the bill, and he's looking at it, gets out his magnifying glass, takes out the pen, and you're going, look, man, I'll give you 10, just let me get through line. It's not worth it. Why? What do you examine? You examine the $100 bill and not the $1 bill, because the consequences of being wrong about the $100 bill is very expensive for the merchant. What are the consequences of us not examining ourselves? of being out of the faith when we think we're in the faith. There are no consequences that are more tragic than hearing that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved because we did not evaluate along the way. Now, this is something we've got to take seriously because life goes by. And especially in our generation, more than ever, one day follows another, and a week another, a month another, a year another, and you look back and you haven't taken an exam in a long time. I was in Atlanta at the airport going to get my rental car. It's like 12 o'clock at night, going to Nathan's graduation at Southern. Karen and Bonnie came out early. I came on a separate flight. And as I'm going to pull out of the rental place with my rental car, they look at my driver's license. They said, "Your license is expired." This is still just in the midst of COVID. And I said, "Well, California's DMV is closed." And they said, "We don't care. We can't rent you a car with an expired license." And I pled with them. And they wouldn't do it. And I had to take an Uber all the way from Atlanta to Collegedale, Tennessee, and listen to the guy play tapes from his imam the whole way. It made me very nervous. Expensive. Have you forgotten sometimes to check your license and find out when it's going to expire? I didn't know. I knew, they gave me 5 years. And then pretty soon you put it on the back shelf and you don't ever look at it. We need to be examining ourselves on a regular basis. My father said that when you drive, a good driver drives 5 cars. My father actually raced cars. He raced Formula One cars. He owned his own race cars. So he was a good driver. And it's amazing, he drank for years, and sometimes I saw him get through accidents and stuff, and it was incredible to me he could do it. But he said, you got to drive 5 cars. You drive the car in front of you, and you drive the car behind you, and you drive the car to the right and left, and of course you drive your car, meaning you need situational awareness. He learned that during World War II flying planes. He said, you've got to watch not only that you don't run into one of your planes, you've got to be watching for enemy that are coming from any direction. So he used to tell me when you're flying, he says, your head's on a swivel. He said, you look to the back, look at your instruments, look straight ahead, look to the left. He said, you're constantly looking around. He says, that's how you stay alive. Situational awareness. Where could that be more important than in the Christian life? We kind of go along, we figure, well, we're members of the church. Being a Christian is in a different category. We need a daily experience with the Lord. Luke 9, verse 23. Oh, wait, I forgot a verse I want to go to. James, God's mirror. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes his way and immediately forgets what kind of man or woman he or she is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that means not only the Ten Commandments, but it's the Word of God comprehensively. By what are we to compare our lives to the Word? So when we examine ourselves, we examine ourselves by the life of Christ, who is the living Word, he's our example, and the Word of God. We don't say, well, I'm on the church books, everything must be okay. Are you walking with the Lord? How many of you have met a person that seems to spend way too much time looking in the mirror? You don't have to talk about any present company. I mean, you know, in your life, they're just always popping out the little compact. They can't walk by a mirror without looking. They spend hours in front of the mirror. Anyone? You know what I'm talking about? Then there are people that look like they do not own a mirror. How many of you would agree you need a balance? How many will confess you looked in a mirror this morning before you came? Come on, fess up. Come on, some of you, I know you did. If you didn't, why not? But you don't want to be doing it all the time. So I want to make it clear, we are not saved by our works and self-examination. Right at the beginning, I want to make that clear. We are saved by faith in Christ through grace. We are justified by believing, and that's the foundation of our faith. But then Jesus said, you will know them by what? Their fruits. And we'll be judged ultimately. Everyone's rewarded according to their works. Your works will demonstrate if the grace of God is alive in your heart. If the works are not there, then something's wrong with the heart. So we need to examine ourselves every now and then to determine that. And that's something that involves a daily experience. Now on to Luke 9, verse 23. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, usually with a crucifixion, once you are on your way to be crucified, you cannot be uncrucified. So this is a little bit of a paradox because Jesus said, daily we need to be crucified. And follow me. It's a daily choice. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? When you pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Being a Christian involves a daily experience. Now, if you're married, there is a wedding day. But the wedding day is not the marriage. Once you have your wedding day, you are married. But then... Pardon me. Being married is something that requires ongoing, daily work. Isn't that right? You can't say, well, I had a wedding, so everything's good now. No, being married is a different thing. When it comes to having a baby, there is a birthday. But being, and you know, when you have a baby, you become a parent. But becoming a parent is different from being a parent. That requires daily investment. So it is with being a Christian. You can get baptized, you become a member of the church, but being a Christian requires daily investment. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. That means every day in the practical nitty-gritty little things, going through the day, you need to deny yourself and invite Christ to sit on the throne of your heart. And it's looking at how you're reacting to the situations and scenarios in everyday life. That's where you see the fruit of Christianity. And so we want to have that fruit. Need to be born again every day. Going to church once a week does not make you a Christian any more than going to Subway once a week makes you a sandwich. So... we need regular examination. Hopefully, when we come Sabbath, there's some examination. A sermon that doesn't invite you to ask questions or do any self-examination probably isn't worth very much. Every message ought to talk about the problem and the answer and instruct us in that way. Problem is sin. Jesus is the answer. So let's look at what some of those things might look at. Some of you have heard, there's a famous Christian comedian. His name is Jeff Foxworthy. How many of you have heard of him? Yes. And he goes to church and gives Bible studies. He's a good guy, but he became famous by talking about how do you identify a redneck, and he includes himself. My father's from Oklahoma, and so I have to laugh sometimes when I hear these things because they're just so true. He's got thousands of them, but I'll just share a couple. If you own a home on wheels and you have several cars in front of it without wheels, you might be a redneck. If your working television set sits on top of your non-working television set, you might be a redneck. If your washing machine is on the front porch and the V8 engine is in pieces in the living room, I have met people like that. You might be a redneck. So I thought I'd just do a different spin on this. How do you know you're a Christian? So bear with me. If you wake up in the morning and half an hour before you really need to wake up, then make sure you've got enough time for your personal devotions, you might be a Christian. You can even say some of these with me. Now, this is all based on the Word of God. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. Your life is guided by the Word. If you read your Bible every day, even though admittedly you don't understand it all and often forget what you read, you still retain something and it seems to make you feel better, you might be a Christian. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You push the shopping cart back to the shopping cart stall in the parking lot after loading the groceries in your car, so it will not roll around the parking lot and dent someone else's car, even though it's 100 yards away. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But sometimes after you, on a hot day, push that shopping cart out and you put your groceries in and you see everybody else is kind of hanging their shopping cart on the landscaping curb so it won't roll, and you think, well, that's got to be better than just letting it go free. But then I say, what would Jesus do? And I push it all the way back and shove it in with the other carts. Sometimes I'll even take it to the mouth of the store and hand it to someone else looking for a cart. These are the things that kind of help us know what is a Christian. Matthew 7, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also for them, for this is the law and the prophets. You tap on your brakes to allow an inconsiderate driver who is racing way ahead of the normal merging area to merge into traffic, even though you would like to accelerate and block him out. What's the rest of that? You might be a Christian. The Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I used to have fantasies. You know, I used to do auto mechanics and welding. I'd get so exasperated with people that did that, I thought, I'm going to weld a bumper on my pickup truck that goes all the way around, and I'll just dare people to try to merge. I don't care if they hit me. Anyone had these thoughts before? Few places is our sanctification more tested than behind the wheel. Well, you might be a Christian. You get a chance to prove it there. By the way, there's a scripture, Nahum chapter 2, verse 4. The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. Someone in the office less qualified than you gets the promotion because they're distantly related to the manager. But you do not complain, mope, or brood, knowing that all things are in God's hands. That means you might be a Christian. Philippians 2:4, let each of you not look out for his own interests, but the interests of others. Rejoice with those who rejoice. You look away from a sexually suggestive billboard because you know it's going to take you places that you don't want to go. You know, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. When temptation comes, you resist the devil. That means you might be a Christian. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Someone is teasing you, and you can think of a very clever, sharp, witty comeback. But you know, they might take it personal. It could offend them, so you don't say it, which means it's hard to waste a good comeback. But you say, what would Jesus do? And then you remember that verse in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The Bible says love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Proverbs, a perverse man is slow of strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. Ooh, you hear some juicy gossip. And you can even expand on the gossip because you've got some information the other person doesn't know. But then you remember that gossip is a sin. And so you bite your tongue and you say, I don't want to say anything that will undermine another person or make them think less of this person. And I wouldn't want people talking like that about me. If you can do that, then you might be a Christian. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The things that we face every day. The scenarios where we're tempted. You're packing your pickup truck for a trip, and you put an old towel on the seat. And then a woman, who will remain unnamed, says, don't use those towels. And you're so busy packing, and you're thinking, these towels got off the ark. I will buy you more towels. This unnamed man is talking to this unnamed woman. And you're thinking, please, don't criticize my packing. And you snap a little bit. Then the Holy Spirit tells you, that was a sharp answer. You should apologize. And you apologize. You might be a Christian. Because it's not that you won't make mistakes. You have to humble yourself and apologize when you make them. And if you know what's good for you, you'll always blame yourself. In this scenario of these people that I won't name. You often freely volunteer in some church ministry, even though you could probably get paid for doing the same thing in a secular environment. But you volunteer because you love Jesus. That means you might be a Christian. Luke 22:27, for who is greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? And Jesus said, I'm among you as one that serves. He didn't have to leave heaven and come to this world. Could have got paid a lot more staying at home. Could have made all the money he wanted. Could have made the money, literally. Even though you're as hungry as a horse, you do not heap your plate with food in the potluck line because you see there's limited food and a lot of people, and some of them are visitors. So you curb your plate. If you can do that, you might be a Christian. You will be tested today. 1 Corinthians 11:21, for in eating, each of us takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, another is drunk. Paul said those things should not be named among believers. You've been known to pick up a piece of trash in a public place that you didn't even drop and put it in the nearest receptacle. You might be a Christian. You decline taking the last piece of dessert in a potluck line. You can tell I'm obsessed with potluck. Because you see, there's visitors that are still there. But wait, there's more. Someone relates to you. Oh, I already shared that one with you, yeah. If your neighbors instinctively think of you as someone they can call on when they need a hand, you're the first person they think of. You might be a Christian. You actually sing during the song service, on key or off key, remembering that God made sparrows and canaries and crows because you want to give glory to God. You do that, you might be a Christian. Psalm 96, verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. If you're unexpectedly caught in the act of prayer by your spouse and children, you might be a Christian. You listen patiently to somebody talk at length about something that you're totally not interested in, and you do it because you know it makes them feel good, and they need a friend, and you share their enthusiasm because you care how they feel. You might be a Christian. The Bible says, love is patient, love is kind, 1 Corinthians 13:4. You get home from the store and you discover when looking at the receipt that you forgot to ring up the case of water bottles that were at the bottom of the shopping cart. So you return to the store the next day with a receipt and say, I still owe you $5.89. You might be a Christian. Oh, you know, it says, thou shalt not steal. Some people would say, praise the Lord, he gave me a free case of water. Right? You're switching channels between the decor channel, the home building channel, to the news, and you see a shoot 'em up movie that looks pretty interesting. This is for guys. If it's a girls, it's a Hallmark film where they're committing adultery. And you hear them use the Lord's name in vain, and you watch them shoot somebody, and you think, I don't think Jesus would watch this, and you change the channel. You might be a Christian. Psalm 103, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not cling to me. A perverse heart will depart from me. I will not know wickedness. You end up in a long conversation with somebody, and you're wondering, how do I gracefully tie this off without offending them? And then Jesus says, they just want someone to listen to. James 1:19, so, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I'll wrap this up. Go with me to 1 John. If you have any doubts about examining yourself and if this is biblical, I was shocked, you know, when I'm going to preach on a certain subject, I'll go online and listen to different messages and different messages. I'll glean all I can. And I hear all these pastors say, oh, that's works-oriented. Examining yourself is works-oriented. Once you're saved, you're saved. But if you look in 1 John, I'll go, for instance, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He's talking about three things I'm going to highlight. He's talking about walking, keeping, and loving. This is the message, 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message which you've heard from him, and declare we to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Christians are not just to be professors of the truth, we are to be practicing the truth. Amen? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, a walk is not something you do one day when you get baptized. It's every day. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. That's saying it continues to cleanse us. So don't get discouraged if you fall. You got to keep getting up as a Christian. Every day being a Christian, you die to self. Now, I don't want you to think it means that, you know, we're constantly so involved in examining our belly button, we have no joy or assurance. I tell you, friends, when I go for my annual checkup, and I come back from the doctor, and he said, blood pressure, wow, pretty good. Are you a vegan? Liver looks good. Heart rate's good. No skin cancer. Breathing's good. 100%. I've done the blood, he's done the blood work. He's done all the tests. I walk out of there. I feel good. I felt good when I came. I feel better when I leave because the doctor said I did an exam. You're okay? So part of the idea of the exam is not to make you feel bad. It's so that you can have some confidence, assurance that you are walking with the Lord, that you're growing. It's the point I want you to get, especially. He says you walk with the Lord. Walking, keeping. Go to 1 John chapter 2 now. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Again, the standard is his word. The truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How do we need to know? How do we know? He that says he abides in him ought to himself walk as he walked. It says if we continue in sin, we don't know him. And then, so Jesus is our example. It's following his word, following our Savior. And then loving. 1 John 2, verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, you're praying for something special. You've got this special prayer request, and while you're praying, the Holy Spirit says, If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember there that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift. Go be reconciled to your brother, then bring your gift. And you pick up the phone and you call your sister, your brother that you know you're at odds with, and you do what you can do. Some things are, you can have your irreconcilable differences. But you need to do everything you can do as a Christian to make peace and love, especially people in the church. How is the world going to know that we're Christians? By our love for one another. So if any man says, I know the Lord, I love the Lord, and you don't love your brother who you could see, how can you love the Lord who you cannot see? So let everyone examine himself. Do you know there's going to be a big examination someday? All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And how much better to judge ourselves now that we can have confidence that we can stand before Him because of faith in His blood when He comes. Amen? Amen. Is that your desire, your plan? Amen. Loving Lord, we want to be Christians in our hearts. We want to know that we are walking with You, Lord. I pray that each of us will be honest with our own souls. And if there's some area in our lives where we're not surrendered and Christ is not living within, the Spirit is not speaking to us and bringing comfort and conviction and guidance, help us to know that, Lord, and make the necessary adjustments. We want to be found of You in peace when our Savior comes. And even more, Lord, we want to be good witnesses for You. Bless us that we can be genuine Christians. And I pray You be with each person. Give us the Holy Spirit, Lord. And be with us through this Sabbath day. We thank You and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.